Good morning, listeners. In continuing the series, Lessons for Life from the Book of Daniel, we will look at the topic, Pride Goes Before Destruction and a Haughty Spirit Before a Fall, Proverbs 16, verse 18. Nebuchadnezzar was an exceptional king, a great warrior and world ruler. He was also known for his building projects, such as a 400-foot-high mountain terraced with flowing water and hanging gardens built for his wife as a cool place of refreshment, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Daniel 1, verse 2. Despite his greatness, Nebuchadnezzar lacked insight into the real power behind his conquest of Jerusalem and capture of its king. God had raised him up to be his instrument of judgment in the discipline of the people of Judah who had failed to keep his covenants and laws. In capturing Jerusalem, ransacking the temple, and carrying off its treasures to the house of his God, Nebuchadnezzar mistakenly thought he had defeated not only the king of Judah, but also their God. In Daniel 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a remarkable dream, the interpretation of which provided an unparalleled panoramic view of world history. Nebuchadnezzar saw an image with a head of gold, which, when interpreted by Daniel, after the failure of the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and soothsayers to do so, pointed to him as the first world emperor. Upon hearing the interpretation, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged the true and living God by saying to Daniel, "Truly, your God is a God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." Daniel 2:47. In Daniel chapter 3, God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, and in the process revealed his presence to Nebuchadnezzar by being the fourth man in the fire with them, an appearance that none of his counselors and advisors who were with him were enabled to see. Again, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged God. "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angels and delivered his servants who trusted him. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Daniel 3:28-29. In Daniel 4, our focus this morning, Nebuchadnezzar had another dream. He told it to his magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and soothsayers, but they could not provide the interpretation. Let's look at this dream. "These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and it was a food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head, while on my bed, that there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, 'Chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. The beasts get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and its root in the earth, bound with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him.'" Daniel 4:10-16. Daniel interprets the dream. Daniel's prominence as a man of God was again brought to the fore as he was called upon to interpret the king's dream. Having heard it and received the interpretation from God, Daniel was hesitant to reveal the interpretation because of its implication. But he was encouraged by Nebuchadnezzar to give the interpretation. Daniel told him that he symbolized the tree seen in his dream, for he had grown and become strong. His greatness had grown and reached to the heavens, and his dominion to the end of the earth. The chopping down of the tree and destroying it, but leaving its stumps and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, meant that the Most High had decreed that the king would be driven from men. His dwelling would be with the beasts of the field, and he would eat grass like oxen. He would be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 times or years would pass over him, till he knew that the Most High rule in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chose. The stump and roots of the trees which were left signified that Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom would be assured him after he had acknowledged that heaven rules. Daniel advised King Nebuchadnezzar, "Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity." Daniel 4:19-27. Clearly, God was extending grace to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel called for his recognition of his sins and for repentance. God's clarion call through all ages has been, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Isaiah 1:18-55:7. The king failed to repent, setting up himself for God's judgment. A year after the dream, he walked about the royal palace of Babylon, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" Daniel 4:30. Immediately, Nebuchadnezzar was struck with a disease called lycanthropy, which caused a person to think he's an animal and to live wildly, to eat grass, have thick and unkempt nails, shaggy hair, and behave inhumanly. What an awful fate for the proud King Nebuchadnezzar. He had embraced opportunities to recognize that Daniel's God was a true and living God, who is the sovereign ruler of the world. Sadly, pride, that insidious evil that caused Satan to rebel against God in heaven and resulted in the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, took hold of Nebuchadnezzar's heart, drove him to self-exaltation, and ultimately to his downfall. What lessons can we learn from this account? The Apostle James says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore," he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4:6. The Apostle Peter reiterates this. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." 1 Peter 5:6. Nebuchadnezzar failed to humble himself. He did not acknowledge that God had set him up. Rather than praising God for his greatness, Nebuchadnezzar praised himself. There are many who think that they have pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps, that they are self-made, and that there is no need to acknowledge God's help and provision. The Apostle Paul, in challenging this mindset, asks a salient question. "What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" 1 Corinthians 4:7. The greatest expression of humility is to agree with God's verdict on our sinful state as human beings. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away, Isaiah 64 verse 6. We should then in humility repent and accept God's remedy for our sinful state. But God demonstrates his love, his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5 and verse 8. I pray that pride will be defeated in your life as a Christ follower, and that if you're not a follower, you will accept Jesus Christ, God's remedy for human sin. Next week, the testimony of a converted king.